All right. We're going to segue into that now. Oh, man. Guys, well, if you're new, I'm Pastor Devon. If you've been here for 20 years, I'm Pastor Devon. All right? So, but just so you know, I'm Pastor Devon. No, and today is a great day because not only is it Pastor Peggy's 50th birthday, and I told First Service this, and I'm going to tell you guys, it's not going to get old. Amen. We're going to say that, and it'll have the same intensity all day, all night, all week, all month, all year. You can say it. Yeah, look, you can say it till next year, and then you can start again. But today, we're going to be celebrating Pastor Piggy's 50th birthday. Woo! See, I didn't even have to coach you. You guys already got it. So, you know, but today, we're also celebrating Pastor Appreciations Month. Yeah. And we get to celebrate our pastors, you know, I guess Pastor Scott went to go handle something, but how many of you guys know we have great pastors? Yeah. We do. And like I said, speaking from a pastor's kid, that I've been around other pastors, been around other churches, trust me when I say we have great pastors. Yeah. Trust me when I say that. So, you know, today we're going to be talking about the role of a pastor. If I had to give it a title, I called it, it's a tough job, but somebody got to do it. Somebody got to do it. And, you know, when I first came to BVC, it was interesting. Let's just say that. You know, I graduated from high school in 2000, you know, first class of the millennium, you know, great Ruha and all of that good stuff. And I came up here for school, and the last thing my pastor down there told me was, make sure you found a church. Okay. So I listened to him and I said, oh, I'm not going to go find a church. I'm just going to do my own personal studies. And I'm going to just, you know, be spiritual by myself. So, you know, I did that for a couple months. And then when I went back to the Virgin Islands to visit, my pastor saw me. And the first thing he said, it wasn't, hi, Devon. It wasn't, how you doing? The first thing he said was, you found a church yet? I was like, well, he said, boy, you need to find a church. That's his exact words. You need to find a church. And he drilled that in me. So guess what I did? This time I listened. So as soon as I got back to my dorm room, I put my bags on the floor. I got it. I closed my door. I got the yellow pages. How many of you guys remember those? The yellow pages. It was actually a big phone book. It was yellow. It had a lot of names and addresses in it and everything like that. So, you know, you go in there, and then I went to the churches section, and then all of a sudden, I just flipped it open, and there was this big advertisement where people were shouting and raising their hands and dancing, and I said, okay, that looks like my kind of church. You know, like, you know, there was, I think it was Linda on the praise team, and she's like this, and I think the picture had her legs up in the air like this, too. It was funny, but, you know, I was like, that's my kind of church. So I called the church. And Miss Margie answered. You remember Miss Margie? Yeah. Miss Margie answered, and she said, oh, we're going to find you a church. I have never met anybody as enthusiastic about finding someone a ride as Miss Margie. If you know Miss Margie, you can get what I'm saying. So she's like, we're going to find you a church. Find you a ride. We're going to get there. And then she worked it out, and then Kevin Blake picked me up. How many guys remember Kevin? Kevin came and picked me up, good, great man of God, you know, he came and picked me up, and then I walked into the church. See, you know, culture shock is a real thing. I'm telling you, it's a real thing. And I walked into the church, and I'm just repeating what I said, this is where I was back then, and I just said, Lord, where's the black people? I'm just talking about where I was at the time. I literally said that, and, you know, back then we used to do, like, a prayer meeting before service, so you know what I did? I went and got down on the prayer, and I said, Lord, what's going on? And then the Lord told me, you're home. And you know how the Lord could tell you something, but you put your own meaning on it? So I was like, okay, this is my home for the next year and a half while I finish school. Okay, cool, cool, cool. So I got up, and I thinking that's just what it was, and that's what it was going to be. Well, obviously, I'm preaching to you today, so that wasn't the end of the story. So, and as we went along, you know, I finally gave in to the call of God on my life, and I went to Rhema because it was something that I was running from my whole life, honestly. I'm telling you, lots of pastors' kids, they do that. They run from the call of God in their life, and I finally gave in, and I went and, you know, had some, you know, great times, met some great people, obviously, and, you know, had some good times, and, you know, the one mistake I did was that I did not keep in contact as I should while I was out there, and that's one thing I regret. But I came back, and, well, you know, I'll backtrack before this. You know, while I was there, I got involved with the church, and I went to Pastor Peggy. I was like, Pastor Peggy, I wanna serve. I wanna help. I wanna do something. I just wanna do something. So she looks at me and says, okay, clean the ladies' bathroom. Come again? You want me to do what? Clean the ladies' bathroom. I'm like, okay. And you know, on the inside, I'm like, why you want me to clean the ladies' bathroom for? What that got to do with anything? But you know, on the outside, I'm like, okay. But on the inside, I'm like, what's going on? Fine. When to go clean the ladies' bathroom? Walked into the ladies' bathroom. I already smell Lysol. I'm like, what's going on? And I went in, walked in. It's already clean. It's already clean. And I'm like, what is really going on? But guess what? I cleaned it again anyways. I cleaned it again. And it's somewhere that stuck with me. It's something that stuck with me my whole life. Now that when I went to Bible school, the one thing they always teach you in Bible school is ministry is spelled W-O-R-K. That's how it's spelled. You know, not M-I-N. No, not that way. It's spelled W-O-R-K. And that's when it clicked. She was teaching me something. She was teaching me something right there and then. Because you know what I just remembered too? She actually allowed me to preach in a youth service before I went to Bible school. And I can almost guarantee you, if I had an attitude with her, with me not cleaning the bathroom, I bet you I wouldn't have been able to preach in that youth service. I know that. I know I wouldn't have been. I know her. So that happened. And then now I came back and, you know, fresh off of Bible school and I'm seeing some new faces, seeing some other faces and, you know, that's going on. And then Anthony Rizzo met me. And I had told Pastor Peggy I was moving back, and she was like, great, good, awesome. I'm looking forward to seeing you. The week I came back, she wasn't here. Anthony found me and said, are you Devon? Yeah. Hey, Pastor Peggy told me to give you this. It's an usher shirt. And I'm like, okay, it's not clean in the bathroom. We you know, progress, right? You know, you know, we're ready to go. Because you know, you're coming back from Bible school and you're ready to take over the world. You're ready to, you know, do everything. And okay, cool. All right, this is where I'm going. But all of that led to everything else. You know, Pastor Scott came and found me. He said, hey, how do you feel about being in youth? I'm like, I really feel called to do it, honestly, but yeah, whatever. Let's try it. Let's see how it was. So, you know, took me by the arms, went to being a youth leader, then eventually led to another meeting where Pastor Peggy called me in and say, hey, I need a youth pastor. And I said, what are you doing? Why are you telling me? And I'm just kidding. I didn't say that. You know, I didn't say that. And I said, yes, because I just knew on the inside it was coming. And it led to so many other great things. But all of that happened because we have great pastors. And that happened because we are family. We are family. The environment of family that we experience here starts from our pastors and it flows all the way down. It does. It starts from the top and it flows all the way down. And I want you guys to realize that we are blessed. Just simply understand that we are blessed because God established the local church for us. He established the local church for us. It's to help us grow. It's to learn different things. It's to help us grow in every area of our life. It's to give us a place of refuge that we can call home, that whenever we need anything, we can come home. We can come here. And we can get the help that we need. See, because what did Jesus do? Jesus helped people. He helped people. That's what he did. In all the miracles, he was helping people. In every miracle that he did, he was helping someone. But he was helping because he had the love of God living inside of him. And that's the same thing that our pastors have. They have the love of God living inside of them. And you have the love of God living inside of you. Come on, somebody say amen. You have the love of God living inside of you. But the local church is an extension of that love. And we all need, how many of you guys know that everything, we need a head. We need somebody that's a leader. We need somebody that's to give direction. You know, there's that saying, there's too many chiefs and not enough Indians. I said yesterday in Derek's football game, too many coaches. Because everybody was trying to give their two cents on everything. And thankfully, we still won, praise God. But, you know, everybody was trying to say, you need to do this, you need to do that. And I'm just looking at the sideline like, no wonder these kids are confused. You know, you got too many coaches going on. You know, but anyways, I digress. You know, everything needs a head. Our church, we have head in Pastor Peggy's and Pastors Peggy and Scott. And they're great heads. They're great leaders. And but the church, that's what we need. We need our pastors. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 12. 11 and 12. It said, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. Now, how many of you guys know that Jesus, when he does something, he does it for a reason, right? He doesn't do things just because it looks nice or it sounds nice or whatever. There's a reason he does it. We're going to see that reason here in verse 12. To equip his people for works of service. To equip his people for works of service. We're called to reach people. We're called to serve people. We're called for acts of service. Let me tell you something. You don't have to be called in to be an evangelist, an apostle, a preacher, or a teacher to help people. You need to do that every day. Even if it's especially in your own family. Especially in the people that live at home with you. Sometimes we can think that, we can overlook the people that we see the most. And, you know, it's a habit that I can fall into. And you got to really be conscious of that fact. And like, no, those are the people that should get your help the most because they're with you every day. You know, they're the people that's there every day. But we are called for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. And in my personal opinion, pastors is what brings everything together. Because, as Cindy said from Shekinah Glory, the church, the local church is the hope of the world. Apostles won't have anybody to apostle if there's not local churches. Evangelists, they won't have anywhere to come to evangelize. I mean, they may do things on the street, but after they evangelize people, they won't have anywhere to send people if they weren't local churches. You know, teachers will be limited in where they can teach if it wasn't for local churches. You know, we need the local church. The local church is the hope of the world. Yes. It's the hope of the world. This is where we come so we can get refuge. We can get help. We can get anything we need through the help of the local church. You may not get the exact answer, but you'll get help to get help towards your answer. Because this is the thing. We all need people. We all need people. Nobody is meant to do life on their own. Not one person. Even God said, with Adam, he said, it's not good that man be alone. That wasn't just necessarily because he needed a wife. That was just in general. We need people. We need each other. And that's what church is. For the people that have broken homes, the church is a refuge from the broken home. Or the church should be a refuge from the broken home. But that's what we are here. I can't speak for other churches, but I know for here, we're a refuge from broken homes. You can come here and you're going to get love. You're going to get anything you need. You're going to get direction and you're going to get what you need here. See, the Greek word for pastor is shepherd. 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 Anybody remember the series that we did on Psalms 23? A shepherd guides, he protects, corrects. What was the other ones? Feed. And I think that was, but comforts. Does all of that. You need to get that here. You need to get that here. You know, people can provide things that seem like it's all those things, but the church is what's going to give you the guidance to get it from God himself. Because there's a lot of fakers out there. There's a lot of fakers. You know what? I tell my daughter she's beautiful almost every day. Almost every day. Why? Because I don't want some other dude coming in talking about, oh, you're so beautiful, and she's just like, oh, falls to pieces. When some guy tells her that, and it's going to happen, I know it's going to happen. So, but when some guy tells her that, all she's going to say is like, so what? Yeah. I know that. My daddy tells me that every day. My mama tells me that every day. I know that. So you need to come with a different game. And I can see Anaya doing that too. But, you know... You know, but I, you know, there's a lot of fakers out there. There's a lot of fakers out there. When you come to the church and you get your and you get the comfort from the right place, you won't fall for the counterfeits. And that's what the purpose of the local church is for. We need to get help. John 10:11, it says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep."
That's right. Come
on. Guys, our pastors lay their lives down for the call of God on their lives. And we all, honestly, we all should. We all need to lay down our lives for the call of God on our lives. We need to, this service is about, this service is Pastor Appreciation and Pastor Peggy's 50th birthday. But this is something that we all should do. We all need to lay down our lives for what God has called us to do. I mean, because his plan is always the best plan.
Amen.
Always. And let me tell you something. This might be a shocker to you. His plan may not always be comfortable.
Amen.
His plan may... I'll go to this side. His plan may not always be comfortable. Okay, I'm just going to stay right here. So, his plan may not always be comfortable.
Amen.
But his plan is the best pathway for your life. Every time. I don't care what you say. Every time. And it's on us to follow it. Because like Pastor Peggy said last week, the plan of God is not automatic. It is not automatic. Some people feel like, oh, it ain't working, so it must not be God's will. Have you read the life of Paul? Have you read that? He was shipwrecked, he was beaten, he was stoned, left for dead, in jail. People betrayed him, his friends betrayed him. He even got in an argument with one of the disciples. But guess what? He was following God's plan for his life. And I said that to say, we all need to lay down our plans and pick up his plans. And a lot of the time, his plans don't look like our plans, but it's our decision on which plan we're going to follow. He knows better. Let's put it like this. If you can trust God to get to heaven and not go to hell, why not trust him for your life here on earth?
Amen.
If you can trust God that you're not going to burn in hell for the rest of your life, why not just trust him that his way is better than our own ways. His plans are better than our own plans. You know, like I said, I was running from being a pastor. How many of you guys know that didn't work out so well? I'm here. But the reason I gave into it, and I really mean gave into it, the reason I gave into it is because I understood that his plan is better than my plan. His plan is better than my plan. So we need to give up our lives to follow God's plan. See, one of the definitions of life, or another word for life, is soul, the mind, will, and emotions. Our pastors' minds are with us. They think about us. They feel for us. You're going through something, they're going to feel it. Their emotions are with us. You know, one of the hardest things, my wife and I ever had to deal with was a miscarriage. And it's tough. You know, and you have some people that try to say, well, the baby wasn't born, so it shouldn't be that. No, it's tough. We already had a name picked out, Sydney Jordan. because we just thought it was a girl. And we already had this, and we already had attachments and things like that. And it was just tough. I didn't know what to do. She didn't know how to deal with it. We were just kind of looking at each other like, what's now? What to do now? But we went to help. We went for help from our local church. It was on a Wednesday when we found out, or I think it was a Wednesday when we found out, or we had a procedure done, and I just didn't know what to do. So you know what I did? I went to play volleyball. I just went to clear my head. You know, some pastors will be like, no, you need to come to church. You need to come to church. She was so understanding of the fact that I just need to do whatever I needed to do at the moment. And that was great, because I felt the family aspect of the situation, not the judgment side. Because it was a tough time. And then the Friday after that, a game night was organized just for us to clear our mind and just have fun. That's family. That's family. So much so that our kids call them Mama and Papa, which is weird at times. You go pick him up from school, Mama, Papa! You know, wait a minute. 1 + 1 = 2 right here, but you know, I remember one time I had to meet at 2J's, just something crazy was happening with me. And she told the waitress that my son is meeting me here. And she's like, okay, cool. And then when I sat down, she looked at me like, he's like, yeah, that's my son. All right, let's go. But that relationship was built over time. And it is built because I came to the right place for help. We need, you know, you need to, when you need help, come to the church. That's what we're here for. That's what I'm here for. That's what Pastor Angel is here for. Pastor Norm, Pastor Steve, Pastor Scott. We're here. That's what we're here for. This is what we do. And I love what I get to do. I love it. Somebody was texting me yesterday and they were saying, thank you for everything you do. Thank you for everything that, you know, just everything you do. I know you're busy with the kids. And I was like, honestly, I love what I do. I love it. It's not a burden. I love it. I get to do it. It's a privilege. It's a privilege. You know, and our pastors will think that. So never think that your pastors, listen to me when I say this. Never think that your pastors have bigger fish to fry. Never think that. Come, let's talk. Let's help. We're going to direct you back to the word. Just know that, okay? We're going to direct you back to the word. It's not going to be a one-time answer for everything. But somewhere in our conversation, we're going to direct you back to the word, because the word is where we get our wisdom from. So why are we going to tell you any different? We're going to direct you back to the word. So just know that. You know, so like our pastors, they're like just like the head of the family. That our pastors, we're here for you when you need something. I guess I said this already. We're here for you when you need something and you just need to come. Now, also do this, guys. When you get great testimonies, we're here for that too. We want to know the great things happening in your life. We want to know about the promotion. We want to know how God came through for you. We want to know about the miracles that happen in your life. Because we want to be here for your tough times, but let's celebrate together in the good times. Because this is the thing. Our life, our Christian life, should not be problem to problem to problem. It's glory to glory to glory. And family celebrates together. Amen. That's why for the rest of the year, we can celebrate Pastor Peggy's 50th birthday. We can celebrate it. We can celebrate it time and time and time again. Because that's what family, that's what we do. That's what we do. I'm going to tell you something. BVC has a family environment. First-time visitors, they may say some stuff about some other stuff, but the one thing they always say is that I feel the family environment here. I feel the family atmosphere. We're family here. If you don't feel like you're part of the family, you gotta get connected. And I'm not saying this in an arrogant way, but honestly, from the first time I came back in 2001, I felt the family environment then. So if you don't feel connected, that's on you. Need to adjust something, not on us. I love y'all. I love Pastor Devon. Okay, thank you. No. We need to know about the victories as well. Yes. Let's celebrate together. Let's do some great things together, because that's what we do as family.
That's right.
That's what we do as family. You know, and this is the thing. We need to pray for our pastors. We need to pray for our pastors. Let me ask you this. Have you met you? Have you met you? Pray for the pastor. Look, I've met me, and she works with me on a regular basis. I need to pray for her. Okay? You know, that same, you know, when you look in the mirror, that's you. It ain't somebody else. That's you. That's the person that Pastor Reggie has to deal with and Pastor Scott has to deal with. You need to pray for your pastors.
Yes.
They need it. Because, and this is the thing, they not only do they have to, they deal with everyone as a congregation, they have a staff that they have to deal with too. Pray for your pastors. I'm telling you, look, Jesus had disciples.
Yeah.
And even sometimes it's like, I know Jesus, you know, that's one of those things. It's like, you can learn a lot about, you know, pastors learn a lot about dealing with their staff from how Jesus dealt with their disciples. And we have a great staff here, honestly. Great set of people. But you know, we have things they gotta work through with any group of people. But as in any church, no church is perfect. Let me tell you something. No church is perfect. No church is perfect. And if there is one, if you join it, that means it ain't perfect anymore. I don't think they want me to preach again. But no church is perfect. No church is perfect, okay? We're family. No family is perfect. No family is perfect. But we are full of one thing here, and that is L-O-V-E. We're full of love. Full of it. That sounds weird. I'm going to change. Oh, gosh. Pray for me, y'all. Pray for me. All right. You know, our pastors need our prayer, because of our prayer, it makes power available for our pastors. They need that strength that prayer provides. Never underestimate the effectiveness of your prayer. I'll say this again. Never underestimate the effectiveness of your prayer. You just got to do it. You got to do it for yourself. You got to do it for your pastors too. You got to do it. They need it. We need it. You need it. Look, you need to pray for your pastor, not only for them, but for you, because the healthier they are and the strength they are, you benefit from it.
Yes.
That's why whenever they need to take a vacation, praise God, whenever they take a vacation, you know, praise God, they're getting strength. They're getting renewed. They're getting the vision for the church, and they're getting so many things together. And it's going to affect everyone in here. It's going to affect it. It's going to affect each and every one of us. You know, I got one question. One question. How many of your lives have been affected by our pastors? A lot of hands are up. This is the month to show appreciation for our pastors. This is the month. Pastor Peggy and Pastor Scott, they do a great job. They do a great job. I'm telling you, I see so many great things for the future of Believers Victory Church. And it's not just because of where we live, it's because we have great leaders. That's the reason. We have people that will push us. Look, if you don't have anybody pushing you in your life, that means you're staying the same. And if you're staying the same, that means nothing is changing. And if nothing is changing in your life, that's not good. We have people, you need somebody in your life that's going to push you out your comfort zone. Listen to me. You need people in your life that's going to push you out your comfort zone. We all need it. We all need someone to tell us, okay, look, you need to stop and you need to go check what the word says. Like I said, we're always going to direct you back to the word because that's where the source of truth is. That's where the source of truth is. That's where it is. We're going to direct you back to the word. But when you're just, for lack of a better word, just going crazy and just doing things your own way, you need somebody. We all need somebody in our lives to tell us, no, stop. You need to change some things. That's what our pastor does for us. That's what our pastors does for us. That's what they do. That's what they do. So guys, this month, let's appreciate our pastors. As simple as that. Whatever God has told you to do, you do it. And it doesn't have to be money. It doesn't have to be material things. We're making some stuff available where you can write a note just to tell them how much you appreciate them. Let me tell you something. I'm not even a lead pastor, but I know there's times where you're just like, am I even called to do this? Did I make a mistake? You know, because the enemy will maximize the bad things and minimize the good things. But those notes that you read and you remember that person you helped and you remember how much you blessed this person, it's good to read that to counteract that. Because you remember, oh yeah, that person, you know, they appreciate what I did. They appreciate the stuff that I did. Because honestly, sometimes being a pastor is a thankless job in some cases. Sometimes. It could feel that way. But when you have reminders of just great things. And this is why I tell you to celebrate the victories as a family, because we want to know the great things happening in your life. We don't want to only know the bad parts. We want to know the good parts. We want to know when God came through, when you didn't see anything else coming through or any other way, and God made something happen out of nowhere. We want to know about those times. We want to know. So guys, this month, in addition to Pastor Peggy's 58th birthday, and wiser, it's a good thing she only looks 40. You know, hey, come on now, that's good. She ain't look a day old. She don't look 50. That's a good problem. That's one of those good problems. I've met some pastors; they look older than what their age is. I'm looking at anybody in here. Remember, I'm a pastor's kid. I've seen plenty of pastors. But, you know, she makes the time to take care of herself, which is something you want in your pastor. Trust me, that's something you want in your pastor. So let's take the time to appreciate our pastor. You know, as a staff, we got her a card. And here. It's for her and Pastor Scott. And, you know, we did it as a staff because we appreciate how much they mean to us. And we're not going to ask you to do anything that we won't do ourselves. And you want me to tell them what's in there?
Yeah.
Okay. We got $400 for her. Yeah. Praise God. From the staff. This is just from the staff. This is from Doug, Maya, Vilia, Pastor Norm, Pastor Scott, Pastor Angel, Miss Marisol, Anthony, Ben, Pastor Steve, did I say you already? You know, and I don't think I'm missing anybody, but that's us. That's what we do. Anthony Rizzo. Huh? Doug Sr. Because, like I said, they got to deal with us too. You know? But the thing is, our staff, we're full of love. We love each other. We don't always agree, but we make sure we get the job done. And that's just natural. I mean, nobody in here can ever say you've never met anyone you don't agree with. That's an impossibility. That's an impossibility. Or you're not being real with yourself. Yeah. So, you know, we want you guys to pray about it. Sow time, write a letter, do something. But let's appreciate our pastors this month. And also, let's celebrate Pastor Peggy's 50th birthday. So, you know, let's go ahead, bow our head, close our eyes. Father God, we just thank you. We praise you. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise. We thank you, Father God, for what you're doing today. Lord, we thank you for our pastors. We thank you that they are such great examples of how we're to live. And we thank you that you've put the pastors in place for the lost, so the lost can have a place to come to. And if you're here and you say, look, I've never heard of Jesus. God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross so that you can live life and life abundantly. Not only so you don't go to hell, but you go to heaven, but to live this life here on earth from glory to glory to glory. And the way you do that is you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart. You need to believe, confessing as Lord means you're turning from your way of doing things and you're turning to his way. So if you're here and you need to accept, you realize that you need to accept Jesus into your life, I want you to raise your hand. Second thing here, if you've accepted Jesus in the past, but you know you've just gone away and done your own thing and you want to come back, you can always go 1,000 steps from God, but he's always one step back. Because he's always there with you. He's always there with you. So if you need to turn back to God, I want you to raise your hand. I see that hand. Put them down. Glory. Love seeing people receive those invitations. So let's pray together so we can pray with the people that raised their hand. Say, Father God. I ask you to forgive me for doing things my own way. I thank you that you sent your son, Jesus, to die on the cross for me so I could come back anytime I need to. So Lord, I thank you that I am back. I am in right standing with you. I'm in fellowship with you. I am reconciled with you. And I get to live as though I have never sinned. In Jesus' name, amen. Woo! Hey, if that was you and you raised your hand, make sure to come down and talk to one of us here at the front. So we want to help you. We want to help you. That's what family does. That's what we do. And I love it. Amen. I love it. I'm telling you. It's just really passionate for me because my family is still in the Virgin Islands. And how many of you guys know, you love them, but then when they're not physically around, it's just not the same. It's just not the same. I am so thankful that my kids have a mama and papa that can spoil them. It happens. It does. But that's a great thing. I didn't have that growing up. My grandmother was like just really old, like just older. They couldn't do anything. You know, Derek and I, they're like, when's mama picking us up from school again? Oh, they're asking about that, by the way. When can we hang out with them? But they love the relationship. And I am thankful for that. But all of that happened because I came here when I needed help. You know, help is not just for you, it affects other people. When you get help for yourself, it affects other people. The call of God on your life is not just for you, it's for other people. But this is the place you come to get help. Amen? Let's receive. We're going to go ahead and receive the supernatural tithe and offering.